It's Friday for Cowboy Up. We're coming to you live from McLeod, North Dakota. If you don't know where that is, doggone it, it's your fault. You should know where it is, and you should get here. And if you like riding horse, if you like riding ranger, if you like just doing things to fight cancer, then you need to come to McLeod, because that's what these cowboys do on this weekend. I've been coming here for years. I'm going to continue to come here for as long as I have this job and as long as they'll have me, because these people are fabulous. They really are. And so it's just, they've turned it into a tradition. I think it's been over 10 years. I know that. Obviously, COVID bit them in the butt last year, like it did all of us. But the best person I know to have that conversation with is a little bit of a history book himself, and that's my buddy here, Tim Kennedy. Tim, how you been?
Good.
You lying?
I've been good. Busy, but good.
Okay.
Busy, but good.
Here's what I want you to know about Tim. Right, Tim's my connection. He's my guy. He's my go-to. I called Tim and I said, Tim, I got to get into the Silver Prairie and do the radio. And yep. Good thing your house wasn't on fire, because waking you up this morning wasn't the easiest thing I've ever done.
Yeah, I might have overslept. I'm sorry.
That's okay. We got in. We got the job done. So is McLeod ready for this?
Ready or not, here we come.
That's a good way to put it. That's a really good way to put it. How many years has this been?
I think this is the 11th year. It was started 12 years ago by Bruce Vandenheide.
Okay.
And we didn't have the 11th year, so this is the 11th ride in 12 years.
Okay, yeah. COVID did knock us out of the saddle, for lack of a better way of putting it, last year.
Correct.
Describe to people what Cowboy Up is.
It's a great time. It's a great, great time. I mean, this little village that I'm fortunate enough to live in. Right now we've got 15 people that live right here in town, and it just swells up. And it's all for the fight against cancer.
Yep. How many horses have been like the max horses going out to the Sandhills here?
Oh, I don't even remember. It was over 300. I know one day that went down Main Street. So
what do you call them here? I'm curious, because we have the South unit down by us, down by the Hankson Mander area, and we call them the Sandhills. Do you call them the Grasslands? What do you call it?
Sandhills, Grasslands.
You do call it Sandhills? Okay. Everybody up here used to brag about how, you know, wide yours are compared to ours, but hey, there's deer in ours too. You need to know that.
A couple.
just a couple.
Just a couple.
So
no pheasants either, Joel.
Yeah.
No pheasants.
I didn't see hardly any on the way up.
That's good. Keep it that way.
All I kept thinking about was, okay, got to go ask him, you know, see if I can't get on that land. So, yeah, it's a really cool deal. So here's the thing, Tim, from the perspective of somebody who lives in McLeod. You know, obviously it started last night. I'm seeing campers. I'm seeing the porta potties. I'm seeing the horses were here last night because they left the trail of it on main drag. So, you know, what's going to happen today on this Friday leading into tomorrow, which is the big day?
Today, people will roll in. I know they're doing a short ride today. I don't know what time they're leaving, but they're going to do a short trail ride today. But you're right. I mean, the horse trailers are rolling in. People are showing up, and this town will just swell up.
Yeah. Well, and describe to people, you said there's what? How many people living in McLeod now?
15 that live right in the immediate McLeod area.
You know, here's the thing, folks. If you haven't been to McLeod, though, I've obviously been here a lot. I've got a real history with family here. My great-grandpa, this was home. My grandpa started out right here in McLeod. But this town is about as well kept up as you can possibly be. People mow their yards, they trim their shrubs.
One more starts and they all start.
That's right. That's good, though.
It is.
That's the way it should be.
Yep, people are proud.
You got a wonderful museum here. This is an old railroad stop, is basically what it is.
Yep, they had great water here, and that's why they built this town, because of the water. And we all know the water table issues we've had out here. I mean, you can't dig a hole, even as dry as it is this year. You can't dig a hole 6 feet down and not hit water.
So the school bus that just cruised through town, is that Winemere?
I think that was Winemere.
So Winemere, Lisbon, both are in this school district.
And Milner. We got three buses that come here.
How many miles is it to Milner from here?
Yeah, we say we're 18 miles from nowhere.
Okay.
It's 18 to Winemere and 13 to Milner.
Okay.
21 to Lisbon.
I always forget that Milner, because I come from the east, is just as close, if not closer.
Yep.
That if you start heading towards Delamere, you're gonna have all of that and more.
And you can't buy gas there either.
Isn't that something?
Yep. You better have at least a quarter tank when you come out here, because you got a ways to go to the gas station.
I know where you keep your gas.
Yeah.
I'll find it in the garage.
Got you covered.
5 gallons here or there. So in terms of, it isn't just the ride.
No.
Tell people what's going to be happening over at the VFW hall.
There's a silent auction going on. I know they had 3 tables full of items already donated that will be sold here in the next 2 days. And we got bands tonight and tomorrow night. I don't remember the name of the bands this year, but we'll have street dances. And as somebody said, this is where all my redneck friends are, and it's a good time.
This place that we're at right now, the Silver Prairie, was a major, I want to say a risk, but investment into this community. So, you know, somebody took and they put a bunch of money behind building a steakhouse here, building a bar here. And I think I woke her up this morning.
Alice.
Know, Alice is just a, you know, she said, "Joel, I'm not moving yet." I think were her exact words
yep.
to me. I said, "Well, even though you sold it, Alice, did you keep a key?" That's what I was looking for. But, you know, the fact that they built this here, and I know the Olerudes have it now, if
yep.
I'm right.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
That, you know, this is a lot of investment in a town of less than 20 people. So it begs this question, because I know you help out here when it gets busy. On a typical Friday night, Saturday night, people coming in to have a steak, how many people are in this town?
Oh, we'll serve 150 to 200 people on any given Friday or Saturday.
Yep. And when are you going to be cooking for this cowboy up?
Tonight we're doing prime rib. We got the smoker going again. You know, we've had that talk from the day I built it. I mean, that was just a little dream. Yeah, nobody thought this was going to blow up the way it did.
So how many pounds are you going to cook?
I think we'll do about 60.
Oh, God. Folks, I can vouch for this. It's about as good as it gets. You want to tell me how you make it? Just a little?
No. We got to keep our secrets.
1 year. Just 1 year. Are you going to leak that out to me a little bit?
Well,
there's got to be one little... Okay.
I'll show you, Joel, but that's it.
Yeah. It's
no.
Like
no,
the old guys. I'd tell you, Joel, but then I'd have to kill you.
Right.
So, yeah, we're not going to do that. So in terms of people coming, you know, and wanting to be part of all this, if they want to bring a horse, if they want to come for the ride, you know, in a town this small, is there going to be a place to put the trailer? Is there going to be
I mean, and that's the thing about this. You park where you want to park. You find a spot. This community opens its doors to these people, and everybody tries to help out. I mean, we're all in this for one reason, and that's to support Roger Maris and the cancer people.
Yep, and the money does go to Fargo to the Roger Maris 100%. What's a good year, money-wise?
I know we were up to about 80,000 one year.
80K in Little McLeod, North Dakota.
Yep.
Raised. That is...
I'll be amazed if we don't go over 60 this year.
People are busting at the seams, aren't they, to get out?
Yep.
Yeah, they want to be part of it. By the way, that's your phone. Welcome back to the News and Views Radio Network, coming to you live from McLeod, North Dakota. That's right, it's Cowboy Up weekend. These guys had great big large bottom lips last year sticking out so pigeons could have landed on it. They were pouting so bad, just like we all were, because you know what? COVID stopped Cowboy Up last year. After a 10-year run, Tim Kennedy is with me. Tim, last year would have been 11. This year would have been 12. Now we're calling this one 11 or 12?
Okay.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Right? We're having it again.
We're back.
It'll be here when you and I are long gone.
I hope so.
Be doing this.
I hope so.
Well, the ultimate goal would be to not have it. Right?
Right.
Because
Let's
cancer's cured. Right? Let's
yep.
beat this doggone
yep.
thing. And,
yep.
you know, there's been some great stories of some young kids that, you know, that have fought this, won, and then came out here to McLeod to try to help get word out, Tim.
We see it. People show up every year. I mean, we've had one of the first Roger Maris Cancer Center patients, Carl. He's been down here involved and has been a speaker here a few times. But, yeah, I mean, cancer touches us all in one way or another. And I'll never forget Roger talking, you know, when they first started this. And Roger Mansky and Vicky Mansky, they were part of this for a long, long time. It was Bruce Vandenhyde that started it, and he had a dream about trying to do something after his sister was taken by cancer. And they were visiting, and they sat there and they said, somebody in this room will be touched. And sure enough, one of the original committee members, Mr. Holmstrom, was taken by cancer. And
great guy.
Oh, super guy.
He's an absolutely great guy, great committee member.
Yep.
Just, you know, and a loss. I mean, you could see it. It was just like a kick in everybody's guts that worked on this. I had, you know, when Heidi was running for governor and contracted cancer in the middle of that race, you know, when she had breast cancer, and she ended up fighting for her life more than fighting for some political job and some political office. But when all of that was going down, it became such a big national story. And actually, you know, a story overseas, there was a reporter, I want to say she was from France or something like that. Anyway, she was, you know, shadowing, you know, the hike camps at the time. She came up to me, Tim, and she goes, well, is there a history of cancer in your family? And I said, well, what family isn't there?
Exactly.
I mean, I don't know any family where that you could look at and say, okay, you know, this my family has never had an issue, and no one that in my family relative has never had cancer.
We've all been touched by it in one way or another.
Yeah.
And our goal is to try to defeat this.
Yeah.
And if nothing else, make it better for the people that are up there fighting it.
Yeah.
That's where this money goes.
That's a big part of it.
Yep.
I saw at the Roger Maris Cancer Center, you know, they have that tradition of where, you know, your checkup, you come, everything looks good. Well, wait a second, you know, it looks like you're cancer free.
Yep.
You know, after somebody's been fighting there, I got a buddy where I saw the video of him going and ringing the bell.
Yep.
And you know, that is such a significant moment for these men and women to go and ring that bell. I've got a neighbor at the lake that the community just got behind and recently had a celebration, and it was all based on the fact that he got to ring the bell.
You bet. Yeah, when you can beat it, you beat it. And it's like you say, it's a significant moment.
Yep. There's you know, when my dad, and I don't know that they could have ever saved my dad. He was so stubborn. You know, he had a mole on his back that he let grow, and he wouldn't go to the doctor, and we begged him to go to the doctor, and, you know, he had melanoma. And by the time that he finally gave in, you know, and started doctoring, he was plump full. You know, the doctors told him, they said, Ray, you know, go do with what we have to hit you with. Go do what you got to do, and you know, live your life the best you can between now and then. And he wanted to fight it, you know. So, I think it was the chemo that killed him just as much as the cancer in the end. But you know, 58 years old, and you remember that year, Tim, because I was 58 last year, and this is my 59th year.
Yep.
And so when I turned 59, and I still felt like, you know, there's a little gas in the tank yet. There's a little, you know, piss and vinegar there. I thought, you know, Dad was gone by then. Dad was gone by then.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, and I look back on that and think he only got that many years. You know, and we all know somebody like that.
Tom. Absolutely. Absolutely. My wife's mother, I mean, she passed away at like 55, 56 years old, and yeah, we're way past that. So
yeah, the Roger Maris Cancer Center has become this place that people, you know, from all over come to. You know, when you think of medicine, you think of, you know, I'm going to go down to Rochester, I'm going to go to the University of Minnesota, and those are great places for a lot of us as well. But, you know, I know a lot of people from Williston, Dickinson, those folks that have doctored at the Roger Maris, you know,
and I know they work hand in hand with Mayo.
Yep, they do. They do. And that's, somebody just texted in and said, my son died of melanoma cancer at 25. You know,
yeah.
And, you know, think of how hard it was for that person to write that. You know, Just want to, you know, in the Rosalth area, has the Threshermen's Association is having their big show this weekend, Saturday. There's a car and antique tractor show, and Sunday is the parade. So more stories from McLeod right after this. Welcome back to the News and Views Radio Network, where we're being heard all over the Upper Midwest and even online. So thank you to all of you for joining us, and thank you to making us number one. We like that. We like that a lot, and I really appreciate that. We're in McLeod today at the Silver Prairie because it's Cowboy Up weekend. And I've got one of the original committee members and somebody who's still here working. And running around like a bat. Well, I'm just saying in your golf cart today, I guess I shouldn't use the hot tin roof for any woman. I'm sorry about that. Karen Haugen, how you been, Karen?
I've been wonderful, thank you.
This is so cool that you guys are doing this. Last year, you must have been kicking pebbles to not be able to.
It was a bummer. We really stressed about whether or not we'd be able to do it because it was an outside event, but you just get very concerned when the pandemic is going on and bringing all of these people to the community. Yeah. Just decided it wasn't a good thing to do. And so it's great to be able to be back this year and kick it off again and get started.
I want to go back in time when this started because you were one of the original members of the committee and you're still serving on it. So yep. 16 years of service is a long time. What was it like the first time? The first meeting when people said, you know, let's get together and have a beer. I got an idea.
Yeah, it was pretty exciting. The very first meeting we had was actually at my house. And a gentleman by the name of Gordy Kessler, he planned our first route. He's very familiar with the sand hills out here. And Bruce Vandenhyde, who created this idea, was late for the meeting. I looked out my back door, and here's this gentleman standing there. And I'm like, are you Gordy? And that's where we started, sitting around my kitchen table, just kicking around ideas. And, you know, this was Bruce Vandenhyde's dream. Yeah. And he's still helping out when he can. And he himself had cancer and is a cancer survivor. So he's slowed down a little bit. But, yeah.
We were, you know, Tim and, you know, and I were talking about how there's no family that this doesn't affect. Mm-hmm. I mean, there isn't. There isn't any family that you look at and say, we've had a fight with this at some point. But the first year you did it, how many horses headed out to the Sandhills?
We had about 150 the first year.
Which really, if you think about it, that was a big number.
Yep.
Just in the first year to be able to do that.
You know, and it continued to grow until we hit 499 one year, which really was, it was wonderful to have, and we made a lot of money that year, but it was more than we could really handle. We were sending people to Fargo to buy food. We didn't have enough food. And then since then, now we've leveled off around 200 or so horses. And that's really comfortable. I think this year might be more. We've had a lot of real positive feedback. Lots of people registering this morning. Much busier Friday morning than normal. So I think we're going to have a great weekend.
So the Dooner across the street, which is known, you know, wide across the nation, quite frankly, when Janice had it, it was mm-hmm. You know, but the Dooner was really headquarters for a long time when I was doing the radio show. And then the Silver Prairie here got built. And, I, you know, when you say handle all those people, this place where I'm broadcasting now has to help with that.
You know, definitely.
To be able to feed people and give people, you know, a place to go and all of that. And I know the Dooner, they're going to be hanging off the rafters, too. I mean,
yep.
These places are just plump full.
Yes. Yep, it'll be a busy weekend, and hopefully we'll have a lot of people in town. The campground out back there is getting pretty full already.
I noticed that when I was running around town this morning.
Yeah.
The campground's really full. So someone from Fargo, and I don't know if they're from Fargo, but somebody came into the home base of the News and Views Radio Network, came into KFGO and left a bunch of stuff in the lobby for the silent auction, Weed Eater, some other stuff that they just wanted to donate, which tells you about how wide of a swath you guys cut.
That's wonderful. You know? Wonderful.
So if I go over to the VFW hall, how many items do you have over there in the silent auction?
Hundreds. I'm going to say there's probably at least 200 items already, and they just are continuing to come in. The tables are getting pretty darn full already, and there's like five rows of tables, pretty much, so the length of the building.
Okay. What do you say to that person that's listening right now that says, I want to go. I want to see it. But I'm a little intimidated if there's going to be room for me. You know, it's a town of 20 people, and is there going to be room for me to even park my pickup or my car?
there's going to be room for you. We'll park you on the street. We'll find a place. There's room, and there's a lot of things going on, from that steak dinner Saturday night to, you know, a street dance both nights. We've got some kids games going on tomorrow afternoon. We've got a cornhole tournament going on tomorrow afternoon. So even if you don't ride a horse, there's a reason to come out. We'll find a place for you to park, and we'll entertain you.
How many people are on the committee now?
There's 9 of us right now.
That's a lot of volunteerism.
Yep, and a lot of their families are here every year working and helping, and we gather friends. And
I don't know who the committee member was that I had hop in my pickup with me when I was running around town looking for some keys this morning.
Tammy.
Right? Tammy?
Tammy Bernhardt.
But she was really nervous about her hair.
Oh.
she was sitting there, and I pulled up to her, and she goes, "I'm on the committee." And I said, "Well, we got to find some, you know." And so it was raining.
Yep.
It was raining substantially then, and she got out of her rig. And you could tell it was like, "Look, I worked on this hair. This is how I want this hair to look for Cowboy Hop." And it was like, "Now you hike camp are going to make me get soaking wet, you know." So just tell her I'm sorry.
I'll tell her that
at some point. So in terms of the first year and how the money's grown that you've sent to Roger Maris, describe that to people.
You know, we're over the $800,000 mark, so we're doing great. I want to say the first year might have been about $15,000, and then it just can kind of continue to double until we reached making, you know, $70,000 a year. And that's probably our 10th anniversary year. We broke all of our records, and I don't remember exactly how much we made, but we had a lot of sponsors that stepped up with $1,000 checks and $2,000 checks for that 10th anniversary. And so, yeah, we still do very well, and every dollar makes a difference. It's important.
Karen, the type of person you are, and this is why everybody loves you, is you go around and meet everybody. Let's talk about the furthest away. Let's talk about some people that's like, really? You're from there, and you came all the way to McLeod to be part of this ride. I mean, some of the people you've met, you know, I met somebody that here one time that was from Beach. I mean, you must have met some people that kind of left you scratching your head.
It's amazing. Down by Minneapolis, we get several people that come from south of Minneapolis to come up here to ride. Out Dickinson area out there, Killdeer. Yeah, we have people from all of those areas driving all this way to come out here and support the Roger Maris Cancer Center. It's wonderful.
So is there, you know, for people that don't, you know, ride horse and that maybe went to Highway Service Players. Yeah, there's my plug for my buddies, right? and bought a Ranger. Is there a place for them in all of this? Is there a ride separate from the horses?
There is. There's a family. They're called Kings for a Cure. It's 3 daughters. Their mother died of breast cancer a few years ago, and they do a 4-wheeler ride, and the proceeds from the ride come to Cowboy Up.
Okay.
So, and they do that in June.
Yep. So there is a way for people that don't own a horse to take part in all of this.
Yep.
See, that's the other really cool thing, is they find a way for people to do it. Why? I know why, McLeod, but there's a lot of people that just tuned in since you and I have been talking. Describe McLeod to them.
You know, McLeod is just the friendliest community ever. They just open their doors in the streets and just welcome us every year. And the Sandhills is a gorgeous ride. It's beautiful out there to just go out into the wide open and just ride out there in the hills and the trees. And it's beautiful. It's a beautiful ride.
So the Dean and Shirley Myers in Dickinson, North Dakota, who have been cowboys and cowgirls for all of their life, you know, a lot of them are sitting there saying, "I didn't even know there were cowboys in Eastern North Dakota." But, I mean, this is Eastern North Dakota, and this has been cowboy country for a long time, Karen. So, I mean, there are cowboys here. There is a real Western feel to the whole thing.
You betcha. I just said that was my cousin out there leading the ride. He lives in Milner. Owns his horses. He's got his cattle. Him and his sons have a ranch out there. And they're cowboys.
Okay.
Yep, there's a lot of them.
So, if you come to town and you want to take part and go to the silent auction, are there other ways to donate? Can you do it online if you can't come to town?
We don't specifically have a way, but if you called me, I'd figure it out for you.
Karen, you better be careful with that laugh, because I'm going to make you give out your phone number right now, and you know you're going to get a lot of calls.
That's okay.
All right, what's your phone number?
My phone number is 701-367 1518.
There you go. And I'll have a picture of Karen podcast at the home base of the News and Views Radio Network, and Abby will put that phone number there as well.
Yep.
And hopefully we'll raise you some money through the radio.
That would be wonderful.
All right.
Wonderful.
Thanks for coming on.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
237-5948, 1-800-880-5346. Folks, I know it's hard at times, but, you know, maybe a story. You know, maybe something that shows why this fight against cancer is so important to you. You know, maybe you just want to mention someone. Someone who took on this fight, maybe didn't make it or maybe did. But somebody that you hope people know a little bit about. You can text us at 35270, or you can always call us on that Laney's News and Views studio line at 1-800-880-5346. Welcome back to News and Views as we come to you live from Cowboy Up. That's right. We're in McLeod, North Dakota. I got a buddy we're going to visit with in just a second. But Tim Kennedy, I asked him to come back on because he's the administrator of the nursing home in Lisbon, North Dakota. Tim, what's that been like in a COVID year like this last year and a half have been?
Awful. Plain and simple, awful. I mean, we were told to lock down. We shut our doors. The residents couldn't see their families. They were stuck in their rooms, basically. I mean, yeah, they were able to move around in the facility, but it was not fun times. It's been tough.
So in terms of now, I know this is a huge outdoor event, which helps, which is a big difference. What are some of the residents thinking now? Are they afraid?
Not after they got vaccinated. I think that brought a lot of hope, and, you know, we all kind of saw that as our way out of this. So, but we're still scheduling visits and limiting the number of visitors in our facility at a given time. And, it's been tough on everybody.
How many residents you have at any given time, or at the peak, I guess is the right way to put it?
We've got, we're 38 skilled beds and 10 basic care beds, but we basically closed our basic care unit to make that our COVID unit. And knock on wood, we only had 3 cases with residents. We had 28, I think, employees that tested positive throughout it. But, yeah, all 3 of them fully recovered. So
they did?
Yep.
End up in the hospital at all?
Nope.
Okay.
We were lucky.
I was too. I mean, when I got COVID, obviously I could have ended up in the hospital like some of the other folks I know. I've brought this up, and I don't give the name because I'm not going to give the name, but there's a young man healthy as a horse with a beautiful young family who ended up on a ventilator that, you know, a lot of people, his family spent a lot of time, you know, praying to God to help, you know, keep him alive. And it's serious.
It is very serious. And we continue to deal with it. I think this is going to be around for a long time, my personal feeling. I mean, it just doesn't want to go away. Our long-term care association, we were all scheduled to have our convention next week. And just last night at 5:30, we made the determination that it'll be virtual again this year. I mean, we were all looking forward to getting together and having a good time again.
Yeah,
we haven't been together as a group for 19 months. So, but
how is dealing with employees? And I'm not trying to be accusatory of employees.
No.
But are you requiring vaccinations?
We haven't up to this point, but with the announcement on, what was that, yesterday or the day before, that CMS will mandate it. And if you don't have all your nursing facility employees vaccinated, they're going to withhold Medicare, Medicaid money. So you can't function without that. So
what are you going to do with the ones who say no when you're already short-staffed?
They're going to have to be invited to work somewhere else.
It's that plain, that simple.
I mean, at this point, it is.
So in terms of, you know, sitting there and dealing with short staff, what do you do? Do you say, look, I just can't take any more people in here? Because every small town needs more long-term care. You know, and I'm not trying to say Lisbon's a real small town. In my book, they're a big town when you're raised and grow up in Matador. But you know, and I know that if you had more help, if you had more beds, you could end up with more people.
Absolutely. Help in getting people to work, I don't care what industry you look at. I mean, what store do you not go by that has a help wanted sign? And, yeah, we struggle to get staff. And mandating the vaccine, it's gonna cause more issues. But is it the right thing to do? I truly believe it is.
Okay. That's interesting, because I agree with you. Obviously, if you listen to the news and views often, I don't think we're going to get it done without getting to that point, without finally saying, look, you know, you're not going to get in, you're not going to get in without doing it. I forgot to go to Sarah Heinrich. I want to apologize to her. We're going to get a big report from her in the next half hour. So, Sarah, I'm sorry. Tim, thanks for coming on, man.
Thank you, Joel.
I
thanks for being out here.
You bet. When we come back, I've got the big personality with me, a gentleman that has carved out and made a living here with just, you know, ingenuity and a product that are products that you look at and say, you got what people want, you got what people need, and you're employing people and you're talking your wife into leaving her job. My buddy Zoob's going to come on. Carl Springer's going to join us. So when we come back, when I say big personality, I mean it. Abby, keep your finger on that red button.